You, of course, covered Ike as a reporter and then transitioned into working with him as a colleague and as a writer. What kind of a change was that for you?
I knew Ike, of course, and covered him as an Associated Press reporter for many years in Missouri, specializing in politics. But after I retired from AP journalism, Ike contacted me and asked if I would collaborate on a memoir. I agreed because he had always struck me as a gentleman, someone who seemed very dedicated to getting things done, and he certainly did that in a big way when we look up at the B-2 bombers flying in the skies over Missouri. I think of Ike Skelton when I see men and women in uniform crowding into the airports, headed or in or out of Fort Leonard Wood. I think of Ike Skelton. And when I see the Missouri National Guard men and women on maneuvers and working on disasters, I think of Ike Skelton because he made the military in Missouri his priority.
Do you have a favorite story about him, whether it be covering him or working with him on the book?
Working with him on the book, it was always amazing to me how he could recall details. And he was a detail guy. He could ask very nuanced questions of generals and chairman of the Joint Chiefs because he really understood the military. He was a student of military history. I never sat down with Ike that I didn't get a history lesson. And it was totally from his very strong intellect and memory. So Ike was quite vigorous and energetic as he'd recall these things. He loved to go on what the military calls staff rides, where an expert will lead you in a Jeep or in another vehicle around a battlefield and point out what happened where. And Ike became so expert in these things. He also assumed sometimes a level of knowledge that I didn't have, and I'd say, hey, you're going to have to educate me about that one. And he would explain these movements of troops or how this Civil War army moved up a hill. So that was a very great learning experience for me. I will tell you that the most dramatic moment with Ike Skelton for me was visiting Warm Springs, Georgia, where he arrived at age 15, a young man whose boyhood dreams had been crushed by polio. He really wanted to serve in the military in uniform as his father had done, as his grandfather had done. It was a boyhood dream. He might have gone career military. And when I got polio, his whole world, he thought, stopped. His arms were useless. Now, he went down to Warm Springs, Georgia, home of the FDR Foundation, because President Roosevelt had polio. And he found some, he thought, magical approach at Warm Springs would help with the healing waters, they believed, and also with the attitude. That's what Ike talked about. He arrived there not feeling very optimistic about his future at age 15. He stayed at Warm Springs, made a couple of trips there, and it was contagious, he said. The enthusiasm, the positive can-do spirit of Roosevelt, they all encouraged one another. Ike had a surgery, finally, on his right arm that essentially gave him a bicep. That surgery allowed him to perform functions with his right hand. That opened up a whole world. He could then write. He could type. He could pick up the telephone, and he could call for a general, and the general or admiral would be on the phone pretty quickly. Ike Skelton also learned to shake hands with that right hand, and when he combined that handshake with his gentle manner, yet authoritative manner, his intelligent way, and his very warm way with people, with a very soft and reassuring voice, he became one of Missouri's titans of politics. He liked to say, in Missouri, we like a workhorse, not a show horse. He was not a show horse. He liked the nitty-gritty of legislating, and he was a chairman, eventually, of the House Armed Services Committee. That is one of the top positions in the nation's capital in national defense. So he got to set policy. He passed legislation. He had major impacts on the military in this way. He was a student and an encourager of jointness. In other words, the Navy training alongside, sharing missions with the Army, and the Army working with the Marine Corps, and the Coast Guard and the Seabees working together with the Army Corps of Engineers, and all of these soldiers working together. And you might think that's intuitive, but it truly wasn't necessarily intuitive. And Ike had to push and push to change the separate cultures of each service branch. He got it done through the Goldwater-Nichols Law, which he insisted be named for others, but truly he was the driving force behind it. We saw the fruits of that, Ike was proud to say, in 2003 during the boots on the ground in Afghanistan and Iraq, when you saw different service branches cooperating on the ground seamlessly. That was not always the case, and Ike Skelton deserves major credit for that.
I guess the book, when was the book completed? It's not too long ago.
Yeah, the book was completed, and after publication was arranged, it actually, hard copies began arriving this fall, and only a few weeks ago, Ike was at the State Historical Society of Missouri. He serves on that board along with MissouriNet's Bob Pretty, and they talked about history. He got to talk about his book, his memoir. That was a point of pride to him, and he also attended book signings in Kansas City and in his hometown of Lexington, where they lined up out the door at the local bookshop to welcome Ike back, to get copies of his story. It still is out there. The book is called Achieve the Honorable. That title, by the way, comes from an inscription above an outside arch doorway at Wentworth Military Academy, where Ike was a cadet in his hometown of Lexington. Ike said he stood in the hot sun and in the cold rain and in the snow of winter at formation and always had to do eyes ahead and stare at that inscription. And he wondered, what does that mean, achieve the honorable? He thought about it and thought about it, and when he thought about it enough, it became the title of his memoir.
So I guess in light of his passing, really, it's kind of lucky that you and he were able to bring that book to fruition, bring it to completion before he died.
It truly was something that Ike wanted to share, and I'm glad that his words got to be shared with future generations, because he does have a message. His message is, first, in regard to his own polio that afflicted him at age 14, that you can succeed despite setbacks, despite physical challenges. He did, and others can as well. Secondly, he wanted his views about the military known. He was very concerned that there is a growing gap between the civilian sort of view or encounters even with the military and those who do serve in uniform, men and women and their families. And he wanted to make sure that the civilians appreciated the military and that the military felt welcomed and embraced and indeed appreciated by the civilian population. Finally, Ike was very, very big on history, education, not just military history, but he was an expert in military history. He even came up with his own reading list for national defense, and you know that was in demand among generals and admirals, and people farther down the list who aspired to be generals and admirals. They always wanted to be well read. It's an excellent list, and you can find it online.
You know, a lot of what you're talking about today, as I've gone through some archives, listening to his sort of farewell speech on the floor of Congress before he left office. He started out by talking about polio and how he learned to have the right attitude, work hard, etc. Not too long after that, I had the opportunity to speak with him as he bid farewell to the National Guard out here at the Ike Skelton Training Center, and got to speak with him afterwards. And he spoke about most of the same things that you're talking about, you know, being educated and knowing the history and things like that. And so Sounds like he was pretty consistent in his message year to year, but, you know, both as a politician and as retired, and I guess eventually as an author. When you you worked with him on the book, what was your function with getting this book published, Scott?
It was coaxing from Ike these memories that were there so ready, and because of his physical challenge with only the use of his right arm and hand, I took along my laptop computer and a portable printer, and we would sit and have long interview sessions, and I'd take notes on my laptop as we went along, and then I would, you know, with his collaboration, we would go back and review the conversation. I would fix certain things, the spelling, the grammar. We'd talk about how he wanted to say it, and then I would print out a few pages for him, and he would ease back into his chair there at his home in Lexington during those long, very pleasant hours, and we'd mutually edit the copy. And that was the way, it sounds low-tech, yeah, it's low-tech, but it worked. And Ike Skelton's life in overcoming his physical challenge of polio and the loss of the use of his left arm and limited use of his right arm became a series of workarounds. He said, I won't be deterred. I'll get this done. And so that's how we did the book. It took a bit longer because of that. But I think it is a very good book. It starts with his boyhood. It talks about his growing up in Lexington, the son of a noted attorney and highly successful attorney, Isaac Newton Skelton III. He talks about his family history. He talks about his polio. And, you know, he never talked about it much while he was serving in elected office. And I asked him why, and he told me, I don't want votes for sympathy, and I won't do it on that account. But I will never hesitate to encourage someone who has a physical challenge and to give them private encouragement. I think the only thing that made him aghast was when someone might assume incorrectly that somehow his limited use of his arms had something to do with uniform military service. He wouldn't sit still for that, and he'd say, no, this is the way I served here in Congress. I did not serve in the military much as I wanted to. And yet he was that walking example of exuberant energy. When I'd go to visit him in Lexington, we'd take a break, and he'd say, let's go walk the neighborhood. And so we'd walk down Franklin Avenue, where his lovely home was located, and we'd cover about three blocks. And in those three blocks, we saw the house where he was born, the house where he grew up, and of course we'd come back to the house where he resided in the last years of his life. So Ike was a man of Missouri. He was a native of Lexington. He never, although he physically had to work outside Lexington and Washington and elsewhere in the congressional district, he never really left Lexington. It was always home and always a place he loved coming back to and felt very warmly about.
So he was, it sounds like until very recently he was in, you know, good health. And I mean, did you feel like he had been getting feeble as of late?
Ike had always been very active, but, as you age, sometimes the parts move a little bit more slowly. He had been through so much in his life physically, with the polio, and then we've now had reports that and confirmation that pneumonia was a factor in his passing. And so it was only in recent months, but Ike was always mentally alert when you'd speak with him, and he was extremely well informed on current issues. Many members of Congress, although he didn't have the title in front of his name, sought him out. I know Senator Roy Blunt and Senator Claire McCaskill had counseled with Ike about foreign relations. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, who defeated him in the 2010 election, he told me that he had invited her out for lunch and that they had a relationship, and he was always glad to offer any assistance he could. No matter whether he was in office or out of office, if he was physically ailing, if he could do it, he would pick up the phone and do something to help Missouri, and he did it across party lines. So his energy didn't waver in that way.
And you've been in contact with the family. How are they doing?
Actually, the family is planning for the services, and many of us, I've sent notes, but I am not intruding on them right now. This has been, quite a passing with all the attention paid to Congressman Skelton. He has two sons. His three sons are on active military duty. They have jobs to do as well, serving the country. And by the way, he never talked about that very much, just for reasons of personal security for his sons when the U.S. has been at war. But the family is going to have a memorial service. The details are to be announced, according to media reports. And I'll stand by and defer to the family on.
Is there anything else that you would like to talk about?
Ike Skelton was a real treasure for Missouri. He never lost faith, essential faith, in the American people. He did have many election victories, in fact, rolling up more than 60% of the vote. And then he did have an election defeat, as we know, in 2010. But he never lost faith or broke faith with the people of Missouri. He was devoted to them. His new memoir, Achieve the Honorable, is dedicated to the people of Missouri. And I'll leave it on that note. He was a true son of Missouri and always did his best for Missouri, and now he'll come home and be laid to rest in Missouri. And that's altogether fitting for a gentleman and a gentle man like Ike Skelton.